the festival day. We have come to the 50th day of Easter, the great feast of Pentecost, and so we've heard again the story of both Babel and how, as to why there are so many languages among humans, and we've heard again the story of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit descending upon the disciples and the crowd that was gathered in Jerusalem, who were told were bewildered because each one of them was heard speaking in the native language of each. Babel reversed is one way to think about Pentecost. The Holy Spirit opens the possibility of humans transcending difference, at least in language, and finding common cause in the gospel. Well, that sounds good until we read the newspapers. And then we realize that common cause is devastatingly absent in much of the world, like Gaza and Ukraine and Congo and Sudan and on and on and on. I've recently read a book, an extraordinary book, about sort of the multi-generational consequences of these dreadful wars. It's called I Seek a Kind Person. And the author is a man called Julian Borger, who tracks down the story of seven Jewish children from Vienna in the 1930s, including his own father, who escaped both Vienna and the Holocaust. And all these children escaped through ads placed in the Manchester Guardian. And his grandparents had placed the ad in an English newspaper, I seek a kind person who will educate my intelligent boy, aged 11, Viennese of good family. So Borger tracks down these stories, and it's like a thriller, like a mystery. But one of the things the stories all have in common is the multi-generation consequences of what the Nazis were all forced to pull: deportations, confiscation of property, refugees leaving behind accomplishments and homes to work as maids and odd job men in new lands and so on. Stories we know. Years after his escape from Vienna, Julian's father took his own life, and an aunt said, the Nazis finally got him. It's hard to shape consequences of this violence that we do to each other all over the world. So if common cause in the midst of devastating wars seems so elusive, what about that other promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of peace? The Holy Spirit is called the Advocate, or the Paraclete, or the Counselor, the Comforter, and the role of the Spirit is to remind the disciples, to remind us, of all that Jesus has taught. In other words, the Spirit is not some sort of mysterious gloop, ether that floats around and lands and does strange things. It's the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus and his continuing work in the world through those who are members of his body, who will sometimes do greater things even than Jesus did. It's worth remembering that the gospel reading we just heard, Jesus is taking leave of his disciples, heading toward what will be a predictable and ugly death. And still, with all of the dreadfulness under Roman occupation, with all of the dreadfulness of the punishment, including up to and including cruelty of crucifixion, Jesus still promises peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Clearly, this peace is not the peace we long for and pray for, the world's peace, the end of hostilities and putting a stop to all the killing, for which we heartily pray. No, the peace that Jesus gives is different. It's the peace that comes when God is present. And all that happens when God is present, there is love, and there is hope, and joy, and healing, and forgiveness, and kindness, and mercy, and courage, and all of the things that happen, even face of the dreadfulness. In fact, in a few moments we will confess our sins. Absolution will be pronounced. And we will rise, marking the resurrection, the risen community. And the first gift shared in this community is a prayer. It's the gift of peace. It's saying, I desire for you all that happens in life when God is present. I desire for you truth and hope and forgiveness and kindness and joy and mercy and love and courage. And I desire all of that for you, knowing full well that there is no guarantee or warranty protecting us from strife or challenge or hardship. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, all human understanding, is more that the assurance that when the cold winds blow, our hearts can remain strangely warmed. Even Jesus knew this peace as he went to his death, the assurance that the one who is trustworthy in life is trustworthy in the face of death and in the face of all that is deathly in the world. So what this can mean for us is that even reading the newspapers, it's still all right to find that we are fundamentally okay, that we're all right. Yes, some of us have health challenges or face difficult decisions or worry about our children or any number of other challenges in life. Many of us are doing just fine, reveling in the beauty of these majesty of these mountains. Today, Sage and I fall into many of these categories, including being okay. And I share this with her permission, but some of you know that we've been quite a journey since a year ago when she received the diagnosis of colon cancer. We were in Houston at MD Anderson, and an old childhood friend of hers drove from San Antonio to Houston to have lunch with us. And at lunch, Judy asked a question, to which Sage and I have returned over and over. Have you discovered anything good in this cancer thing for you? Is there anything good in it? And our answers always include the extraordinary breadth and depth of our friendships and people who care across many of our different aspects of our individual and combined lives. And that's clearly been a blessing. And then the other one is that we have confidence in our doctors in Texas. That's not always been true, and it's a great blessing. And we keep going, all of these things in the face of what is not a good story. The doctor in Houston said, if you Google this, you won't like it. And you know what? He was right about that too. But as Sage says, he likes to say, this is not elective. And we are fundamentally doing okay. We both experience a measure of this peace that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the peace that Jesus lives. So let's celebrate this peace, which today is poured out. Peace which surpasses human understanding. Even as we pray for healing, even as we pray for an end to violence, even as we pray for an end to these bloody wars, let's give thanks for this peace that is the presence of God in the Spirit of Jesus, which can sustain all of us in times both of joy and of sorrow. Even in the face of things dreadful, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I offer this in the name of the Father and of the Son.